Savior said, if you would my disciple be, take up your cross with willing heart and humbly follow after me. Take up your cross, let not its weight fill your weak spirit with alarm. His strength shall bear your spirit up and brace your heart and nerve your arm. Take up your cross, heed not the shame, and let your foolish heart be still. The Lord for you accepted death upon a cross on Calvary's hill.
Morning, church. Welcome to St. John's Live, Sunday morning, June 28th. Just one announcement for our church this morning to bring your attention to, or to remind you that this is our beloved Dr. David Wagner's last Sunday with us as he moves on to a new teaching job and a home closer to his original home and the home of his mom. We've been so grateful for David's enormous contribution to the life of our church and to the spirituality of our worship through the gift of music, and we are going to miss him. We will say goodbye to him in person this morning at 10 a.m. under the tent. I would just let you know that that went well last Sunday. It's going to work, worship under a tent, so you come back to us if you are local when you're ready, but we will have a time this morning at 10 a.m. under the tent to wish David farewell and tell him that we expect him to come back and visit soon. So sincere and heartfelt thanks for the gifts that he has brought to our community, and both an excited and a sad farewell. Thank you, David, and thank you to St. John's for all the love and care and attention you have given David as his time as a member of the choir and his time as our music director here. After a moment of silence and the ringing of a bell, we will continue with our Sunday morning worship.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever.
Amen. God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read together Psalm 89. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
For I am persuaded your love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Truly the Lord is our ruler. The Holy One of Israel is our King.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of righteousness. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. So there is this, in this arena that we operate, that we could call the church, or we could call religion, or we could call spiritual practice, or we could describe it as the social emotional health arena. But in this arena where we operate as religious professionals and as people of faith, there is this lexicon of words that seeks to describe what a mature faith or what a whole spirituality looks like. Some examples of those words are balance, simplicity, integration, wholeness, depth, meaning, creativity. These are the words that we use when we're describing that mature faith, that spiritual wholeness. And those words are not words that are just aspirational, but I think those of us who've been in it for a while, in the pews or in the pulpit, either one, have a sense that they are both aspirational and somewhat descriptive. That there are these complete moments of spiritual presence or spiritual action. And then on another side of the same coin of our lives as religious professionals or our lives as people who are in the pews seeking to embody the faith, there is a noted and felt and quite real complexity when we begin to poke our noses in theology, when we begin to seek to understand ecclesiology, maybe especially when we begin to become students of practical theology, how the thought meets with the practice. Things become complex at best, and maybe at worst, at least confounding, if not confusing and frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about Matthew's Jesus this morning, who brings us a gospel that points towards simplicity. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Mm-hmm. Listen to the voice of the prophetic in your culture and reap the reward of the prophet. If a child is thirsty, give her something to drink. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. And yet I also know this other side of trying to embody the faith. So I'm wondering how each of you wrestles with this tension or this paradox that we live with as people of faith. How would you describe it or explain it, or what's your experience there? Or what's your feeling there? We're looking at you. I
think for me, the way I would describe what you're describing is sort of this disconnect between the heart and the head. Mm-hmm. And that we get too much into our head and we start thinking about how hard it is. And not saying I don't love being in my head sometimes, and the intellectual, you know, academic side of it is really fun when you talk about theology. But there's a disconnect, right? It's not that you have to get out of your head entirely into your heart, but there needs to be a balance or some way that you are living. And you know those moments that just, you just know you are doing the right thing and God is with you and you feel that presence. But if you overthink it, even giving the cup of cold water to a child can feel overwhelming. Like, am I really supposed to do this? Sometimes we do those sorts of things because we know we're supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. We give the cold water to the child because it's something we're supposed to do. But if we overthink things, I just feel like it derails it. And faith is so much about your heart. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. I didn't really want to talk about Romans because it's a kind of a tough one.
But the wages of sin is death.
But if you think about it, it's actually what's being said in that passage, which is there's sort of this, we are stuck in this funny place between the kingdom of God and the world in which we live. And we've talked about this a lot. Like, we are working towards the kingdom of God, right? And that is what we aspire to. And you have those moments where you feel like, oh yeah, God's with me, and you can taste it and feel it and almost touch it, but we're still in this world. So you're sort of that tension, and not to say it's between sin and righteousness, but you could, it's the same tension, I think, is that we read about in Romans today.
Yeah. Mm. mm-hmm. I love Paul's language too of like, by no means. He's oriented to that process. Yes. So specifically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Brian?
Well, what occurs to me is that I love those moments in our lives, and I think we all have had those moments where we feel so connected to God. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this is a God moment. Yeah. You know, everything is right with me, with the world, between me and God. Those are such beautiful moments, and I would never want to minimize the power that those moments have. And what occurred to me when Mary was talking was that I totally agree that there is in me often, if not most of the time, this disconnect between my head and my heart. So isn't part of this spiritual journey that we're all on to move into that heart place with some intention and with some practice, and not to just wait for those beautiful moments to come to us as a gift, which is how they come to me. But I wonder if there isn't more to being on this path with Jesus, this spiritual path, than just simply waiting for everything to line up and that gift to come.
You think about that's what our spiritual practices are, meditations and prayer. But when you said going into your heart with intention, the phrase that came to me was, bring your head with you.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, there's that sense of, like, you're doing it with purpose. You're not just letting it happen. You are intentionally moving forward and trying to move into that heart place.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was listening to you, I heard you say work, that we work for this. And then I had to do a little theological maneuver of like, not works righteousness. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's not talking about earning your way to a place in the kingdom.
Right.
You're talking about working so that we can stay oriented toward reality, which is that we are beloved. However we want to say it,
there
is this, there is a lot of, the way of love requires a lot of discipline and a lot of earnest discipline and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that work is internal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's not like, how many glasses of water can I give to thirsty children?
Mm-hmm.
It's not scaling that kind of enterprise. Mm-hmm. Or how many times might I welcome the stranger of all the RVs and SUVs and tour buses that roll into this valley? Like, how many welcome to, you know, howdy folks, welcome to Jackson Hole, you know?
Yeah.
How many of those can we do? It's not how many times can I tune my ear to the prophetic. It's just, am I oriented so that when I am presented the opportunity to welcome, or when I am presented the opportunity to listen, or when I am presented the opportunity to serve the vulnerable, I desire to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not compelled.
No.
Right.
Not should.
Right.
There's no shoulding. It's that my desire orients to that place. And you're talking about those God moments, Brian, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, in that, lately we talk about that as the zone or flow state.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing,
which
is a different way of describing the same
experience. Which is what you started with, is that this language that we use, which Paul uses in incredibly complicated ways that I can barely follow, but this language that we use does describe an experience, and it's an experience that we can strive for and aspire to, but it's also a very real experience of the heart.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, there are moments, like, we don't become balanced, and then we're just balanced. I mean, it's a constant process in life.
balance is
all
constant
of,
adjustment.
Yes,
it's
all
right.
Time.
Constant
yoga
adjustment.
Tree pose.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
not
have those moments that suddenly you're like, oh, I'm in perfect balance, and it's fleeting. But it's those moments when you're in perfect balance, you think, oh, we're going to keep trying this. We're going to keep going. Mm. What you were saying in terms of we often give because it's what we're supposed to do. What you're saying is we give because that's where our hearts are. Mm. And we're giving from a very different sense of place. And that's where we want to be, because we are focused and centered and feel God's presence in that giving, right?
Yeah, and I heard you say, like, you bring your brain there. And I was like, ah, integration.
Mm.
That's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I know that experience when I have those moments of integration.
Right.
That's one of the byproducts of flow state,
right,
or being in a God moment.
Yeah.
Or
well, and didn't Jesus embody that perfectly? I mean, it wasn't Jesus the ultimate integrated being, right? Because Jesus, sure, he often makes statements about that sound very simple, that make this striving towards the kingdom seem very easy, and yet he never, ever once balked from doing a hard thing.
Right.
I'm thinking right now, humorously, about the story. Some of my favorite episodes in the Gospels are when, you know, the strident evangelist of the Gospel says, and they were making their way toward Jerusalem with the disciples behind him. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus is like, he gets off the path,
right,
and he
right.
goes and he sits down with the leper or the woman or the bereft, and he listens to them. And the disciples are like, wait a minute. Like, we're supposed to be going to Jerusalem. That's what good religious people do.
Yeah.
And he's just so clear of like, no, it's about listening. It's about serving. It's about being open to the needs of the other. And he does it so matter-of-factly. He doesn't stop and say, like, I know you think we should go to Jerusalem, and we're going to get there. He just goes.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Fun.
Thank you.
So here we are. We're struggling with that tension between those moments of simplicity and integration and clarity and balance over and against more turbulent times, mm-hmm. which we have certainly been in the midst of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in the grinder right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe it's just a deep breath and a doubling down on the earnest discipline and the hard work of understanding our real connection to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Amen.
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 A little bit of homework for you this week. So just playing off these three movements that Matthew's Jesus gives us, just a little simple instruction. If you have the opportunity this week, and that opportunity matches desire, issue a welcome to someone. Extend yourself hospitably. If you have a moment to open yourself up to listen to the voice of the prophet, to listen to a prophetic voice in our culture now, one that perhaps demands more sensitivity and compassion and kindness from us, then sit and listen. Or if you have an opportunity to serve the real needs of a child, or to serve the real needs of one of our most vulnerable, give it a shot. Maybe talk about it with someone you know and love. That's our homework for this week.
Great. Recite together the Nicene Creed found in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Ken, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Shelley, Holly, Stan, Ari, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Jan, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Anne-Marie, Helen, Ned, Mark, Julie, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, the Smith family, Stephen, Mary, Nikki, John, Jean, Anne, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays: Meredith, Andy, Owen, Jackie, Joe, Cameron, Jan, Missy, Val, Marna, Brian, Lenore, Jim, Philip, Lindsay, Kathy, Anna, and those celebrating anniversaries: Tim and Althea, Dwayne and Robin, Tom and Jane, Bill and Glenda, Brandon and Katrina, Bill and Robin, David and Libby. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. May add your petitions silently now. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people in the multitude of your mercies. Look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A God whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see in this moment the pain and suffering our sisters and brothers are subjected to, and give us the will to right the wrongs we have done by our actions and by our inactions. Ease the pain of all your people. Help us also to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Spirit among us, that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world.
Amen.
Let's pray together the prayer for communion.
God of love,
we thank you for bringing us together in this place, on this day,
to honor and to celebrate you and your people, the living, loving body of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Bless this gathering as a sacramental rite, a visible sign of your love for us and our love for one another. Even in the absence of the bread and the wine, let us feed on you, your Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, in our hearts with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
May our hearts feel the song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.